What's good, everybody? It's your man, Brother Red. It's getting ugly.
We're going to be doing the knowledge and chopping it up, all things hip-hop, sports, and pop culture. Today, we're going to cover one of my favorite comic book characters of all time, none other than the one and only Luke Cage. You heard his theme music. Big shout out. And I have to say, I don't own the rights to any of the music. But we're going to pump it because we love it. So big shout out to Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad from Tribe Called Quest. The music that you heard is from the Luke Cage soundtrack off of the Netflix series Luke Cage. If you haven't seen it, man, you're missing out. Even if you don't like comic books, if you just like good action, check it out. Okay, so let's get into it. Now, it's 1986, okay? A lunatic, racist, white supremacist is murdering black citizens in New York City. A smooth-talking Billy D. Williams knockoff named Tyrone Power is on the case. Luke has been out of pocket. He's been helping his partner, Danny Rand, a.k.a. Iron Fist. Iron Fist had to go to Kunlun, which is his home, and he had to go on a quest, and so Luke was helping him out. Not only that, Luke has also started a Hero for Hire business with Danny. And because of their exploits, they are starting to get really, really high-end clientele because they're superheroes. And so what started out as a mom-and-pop thing to help out the people, you know, in the neighborhood ends up being where, you know, he's getting hired and him and Danny are getting hired to work for, you know, millionaires. There's a quick side note. One time, Power Man had to check Dr. Doom because Dr. Doom stiffed him on, it was like $200. And so Power Man broke into the Fantastic Four's, broke into their headquarters and basically took on the Fantastic Four. And then, so he could basically jack their vehicles so he could travel to Latveria to confront Doom over the $200. So they went ahead and, oh, you want to whoop Doom? Well, here, go ahead. So they gave him one of their little famous four cars. So he ends up flying over to Latveria, smashed a bunch of Doom bots, and then checks Doom. And now we're talking about Dr. Doom. This cat, you know, is taking on cosmic beings, but his ass got checked by Luke Cage over $200. Okay. So, yes, Luke Cage is a real brother. You're not shorting me out of nothing. I don't care if you're Dr. Doom. You're not shorting me. And he even told him, it's the principle. I ain't even sweating the money. It's the principle. You thought you could get away with it. So, yeah, Luke Cage, that's a real brother. All right? And so the scene is set. New York City is on fire. Black folks are losing their mind. Okay? You have a white supremacist who is killing black women, he's killing black children, and he's even killing black police officers, okay? And so Luke, who's been on the outside, he gets back, he's wanting to help. Now you got a new man of the people saying, no, I don't think so, okay? And so pretty much, hey, the race is on. How many people, especially how many more black people, is this guy going to kill before Luke Cage steps up? Okay? So that's why people are going off. All right? So let's check this out. We're going to read the opening panel. Now, this is Ted Koppel. Okay? First page, as soon as you open it up. You know, the cover is awesome. It's got Luke Cage in the front, a bunch of people rioting in the back. Or not necessarily rioting, but they are strongly picketing and protesting. And, you know, but it looks like a riot because it's like a brick. You can see somebody has a hand, the bricks, you know, coming out of their hand. So, it looks like a mob. All right? And so, that's on the cover. And you see Luke's face. And he says, all right, now it's time to get ugly. So, you know the scene is set for a bomb comic. All right? And this is 86. I'm a 10-year-old kid. I'm like, yo, Luke Cage? Oh, that's my dude. All right. So, open up. I'm like, oh, snap, Ted Koppel. Oh, hell no. So, good evening and welcome, Nightline. Tonight, we have a special report on Luke Cage, the man more widely known as Power Man. Late afternoon, Cage almost single-handedly invaded a Midtown United States armory, nearly destroying the installation in the process. Although charges and countercharges fly back and forth between the New York Police Department and the military brass, no criminal charges have been brought against Cage himself. In order to understand this bizarre incident and the motives behind it, we had one of our top reporters on the scene from the very beginning. We now go to Sydney Wallace for tonight's special report. Sydney? Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to skip all the way to the end for a second without giving up any of the stuff as we, unpack this thing. And the reason why I'm going to go to the end is I'm going to tell you this. Just so you know, to kind of set the scene. Ted is introducing a report. Sydney is giving a report. So everything that we read through this comic book is kind of through the lens of Sydney giving a report. And Luke is sitting down on his couch watching. So Luke is actually watching Ted Koppel report on him. So basically this story is going to jump in between some reporting from ABC Nightline. And then also first person stuff taking place with Luke, all right? So, this guy has already, the reporter says, okay, this guy has struck again, this white supremacist who's a superpowered being. They do know that this guy is a soldier or a veteran, and he has taken a soldier serum. If you're familiar with any of these Marvel movies that have been out, and you know about the Super Soldier Serum, you know about Captain America. So this guy, Marvel had this recurring theme of always, if they needed somebody to be a villain or a hero for a quick minute, hey, let's give them the Super Soldier Serum like Cap. Of course it doesn't work and there's some side effects, but it works for the story because it's easy. So that's what they did here. So this guy has Super Soldier Serum. Apparently it's driven him mad. Either that or he's just was already just a straight up piece of you know what, okay? To just be murdering black folks like this, all right? For no apparent reason other than he can and he's super powered, okay? So, the reporter's reporting the scene. This guy has, I'm looking here and they show a body count. They actually show white sheets over bodies in the first top panel. And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 black people this man has murdered above a grocery store. And it's a brownstone. So if you know New York City, there are like a lot of homes and businesses where you might have a brownstone with residents over, and they're sitting over top of storefronts. And so, second story, the whole brick wall is blown out. This dude done killed, 7 people? Done murdered 7 black people. All right? So now, on the scene, comes Detective Sergeant Tyrone King, the new man of the people, the black knockoff Billy D. And he's got a deeper story. I ain't gonna get into it now. I'm just gonna tell you, he's a shady dude. If you watch Luke Cage, you know Misty Knight. The way they do the show is kind of twisted in the comic books. Misty Knight actually went with Danny, and that was his girlfriend. And this dude, Tyrone Power, is putting, he's putting the wood to Danny's ex-girl, Misty. So, you know, Luke don't like the dude anyway, because he's like, dude, you know, like, Misty and Danny's going through a lot of stuff, and here you are, you know what I'm saying, complicating stuff. So he already don't like him, because this dude's knocking off his boy's old lady, okay? So him and Luke, you know, they don't like each other anyway. All right. So, Power's on the scene. He's assessing the scene. He's talking to some of the just regular blues on the scene, getting an assessment of what's going on. Okay, now downtown, people are going crazy. And people are in front of the police department. The cops are out front trying to keep a mob of people from jumping into the actual police department. It's the Midtown precinct, the South precinct. And so here, I'm just going to read a little bit of what the reporter has to say. Public opinion held that were those slain officers white? Because you got to remember, this dude in this last bombing, his superpowered explosion, he killed 7 black people. Included in that is some police officers that's trying to, you know, get this guy. So, brothers is like, man, this is some bull. You know, y'all can't take this cat out. Y'all got the Avengers. Where's Captain America? Where's Thor? Okay? Where's the Hulk? Okay? Where's Spider-Man? You know, and most of all, black-ass Negro, where is Luke Cage? Okay? So, you know, brothers is irate. They storming police precincts all over New York City. Okay, and, you know, this is what the reporter says. The reporter says, public opinion held that were these slain officers white, a suspect would have been in custody by the following evening after these attacks. Instead, the suspect, following the evening, instead of a suspect, you know, the police get a riot because they ain't got nobody. Okay, so black people were saying, like, look, man, you know, it's all brothers, so y'all ain't doing nothing, right? Have we heard that before, people? Okay. Okay, so now she says, here's where our camera crew first caught a glimpse of Luke Cage wading through a throng of angry protesters. Okay, so Luke is like, okay, I'm going to go up here. I'm Luke Cage. You know, I got some people on the police department. Let me see what's up. This dude's going down. You know, I'm back, people. All right, people looking at him like, yeah, whatever. Okay, so she's saying it's uncertain what Cage is doing, why he's there, but he is there. So Cage goes and finds his Tyrone Power. All right, and these dudes have already had words earlier in the issue, but, you know, Power's like, yeah, we don't need you, Cage. Hey, whatever, dude, I'm going to help. So he's over there. At the police department, they're in the records room, and they got the little computer dude up there at the records room. They're looking at the record on this dude because they're going to say, hey, let's find this criminal record on this cat, right? Because they don't know. He's a superpower being, but his face is covered. They don't know who this guy is as far as his identity. They just know he is targeting black people, and he is murdering black people. He is a racist, you know, piece of, you know what, he ain't killed no white people, nobody else, he's killing Negroes, okay, so the computer guy, you know, does his thing, gets the guy's background information, I'm not going to call him a gentleman, I'm going to call him a murderer, because that's what he is, the murderer, villain, name is Blake Williams, so the guy's name is William Blake, male, Caucasian, 5'10", 175, right? And it says male Caucasian. All right? So they're discussing, you know, they're discussing, you know, this guy, what they're gonna do, whatever. And you know, and so one of the police officers come in and they're like, "Hey, yo, King, hey, I'm letting you know, man, this, hey, that dude with them powers is killing all the brothers. Hey, he's got, you know, the dude with the glowing power that's blowing buildings up with brothers and killing brothers. Hey, he's up in Harlem." So Luke automatically looks like, you know, I'm on it. And then, of course, you know, pretty boy knockoff Billy D, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Snake, he's like, "I'd invite you along, Cage, but I can't afford your fee." So he's just digging at Luke again. Like, man, he's like, you know, I'm a real hero. I'm a cop. I do this for the people. You only trying to get paid. All right. So we're going to jump along a little bit. And before we do that, I do want to make sure that we take a break, because we want to make sure that we shout out our sponsors. And so we're going to take a quick break. Go ahead, refill your drinks. Go ahead, refill whatever refreshment you may have got. If you got to use the restroom, do that. Check out our sponsor, and then we'll be right back. Okay, guys, we're back. Okay, so now they're rushing to Harlem. Now, they find Blake, and he is on top of two young kids. You got a black kid and a white kid. All right. Blake's going in. He's getting a deal with smash mode in these cats. Okay. And we finally get to see this guy. He is glowing in an all white suit. I'm not sure why he's glowing if he has Captain America's super soldier serum. That's typically not something that occurs. Although this dude is jacked. And that would be correct, because Cap was like, you know, originally very, very small. He was like about 130 pounds soaking wet, and maybe 5'4", you know, a little bitty scrawny guy. Ends up getting up to like, what, 6'2", 230, something like that, 6'2", 225, and with the ability to lift at least 5 tons. And so this guy is definitely jacked, okay? So we see Luke jumping in. He's jumping out of a squad car. Here comes Power on his motorcycle. Then out of nowhere, in the last bottom panel, Falcon comes in. So I'm like, oh, snap. Now we got three the hard way. You know what I'm saying? Because now we got Fred Williamson, Jim Brown, and Jim Kelly. So I'm hyped. You know, I'm definitely all in on this now. I'm like, oh, Falcon's up in this mug? Oh, it's on. So we know it's cracking. So Falcon, he gets the first crack at the guy. He hits him. Power is on the motorcycle. He grabs the little black dude. And the black dude goes, "Hey, what about my partner?" He goes, "Well, he only goes after blacks." Which I think, you know, when I read that, I still thought that was kind of messed up as a police officer. Just on the strength that, you know, what if today's the day he decided to take somebody else out? You know, because he probably could have taken, you know, both kids. But you just target one and leave the other one. I thought that was kind of, you know, that was a shade move by that Power dude. And later on, we will learn that he's a shady guy. But that's for another story. So anyway, Falcon, he whacks the guy pretty good. Dude falls down. He falls down conveniently right next to a car. Looks like an old school, looks like they were trying to draw an old school Ford Escort. So this guy picks up a Ford Escort and chucks it at Falcon. Falcon is up near the rooftops of these brownstones. So, you know, this guy is like several stories up in the air. And so this guy throws a Ford Escort at this guy. You know, and he, you know, he's got to be up at least, what, however tall, you know, those brownstones are. So however tall that is, this dude's easily able to just chuck a Ford Escort at Falcon. So Falcon dips, you know, of course he misses, and the guy throws the Escort over the brownstones, over to the next block, where Luke is there. He catches the car. Incredibly, Power rolls up on a guy, pulls out his dirty, hairy 45. He unloads and dumps on the cat like he's Frank Castle, the Punisher. And, you know, he dumps on the dude. Dude falls to a brick wall, falls down. Power, and I keep calling him King. Anytime you heard me say King back there in the past, I meant to say Power. Excuse me for that. Forgive me. So anyway, Power kicks the guy. And so Power has subdued this guy because he dumps on his guy with some, you know, big time shells. And so the guy's down. So they're able to subdue the suspect. So now we cut. Luke is sitting in front of his television and he's watching, you know, everything that's transpired in the news as they're reporting all this stuff. Okay, and so we get some of these speech balloons, and so I'm going to read a couple of them for you. Cover up, that's what it is. The cops, the press, even Cage. And so the reporter says, okay, well, pardon me, sir. Are you accusing Luke Cage of being involved in some type of massive repression? And then the guy goes off, and the reporter goes, are you blind? Look at the facts, man. Fact. This black dude's got a death wish for blacks. Fact, the cops took him to their find. The cops took the time finding him. Fact, Cage crossed the protest line at the precinct last night. Fact, when Cage found Blake, instead of bashing the dude's head in, he turned him over to the cops. Isn't it true, sir, that the police detective King emptied his gun? And the reason why I'm calling him King, because even the writer is calling this guy King, even though his name is Tyrone Power. So even the writer got mixed up. So forgive him too. So anyway, isn't it true that Detective King emptied his gun into Blake? Shots that merely stunned Blake in his new superhuman state? King is a cop, man. He's got a job to protect, dig. But Cage is so wrapped up in being Mr. Superhero, he's forgotten all about being black. He should have taken this white devil Blake out all the way out. So, you know, I'm reading this, and I know for a fact that, or I'm thinking I know for a fact at the time, like, okay, this is a white dude writing this comic book, so I'm laughing at some of the dialogue, because usually the dialogue, when they got these white dudes writing for black characters, it's funny. And so, this is 1986, and I can tell you in 1986, you know, wasn't nobody saying dig. You know what I'm saying? You understand me? But at any rate, we'll keep going. So, the broadcast gets interrupted to bring some special news. And they say, Blake, and they're calling him the Race Killer. Really good title. Really original. Who was taken into custody, has been released. Okay. And said, due to an administrative oversight, local officials were forced to accept a writ of habeas corpus and produce the still glowing Blake to the U.S. Marine Military Police. Blake has been remanded to the Marine custody and taken to the 23rd Street Armory to await transportation to Fort Dix. And so they keep talking, and in the next panel you see that's all that Luke needed to hear. Okay, Luke gets off the couch, so you know it's fitting to go down. Okay, they done called him essentially Uncle Tom. They said he's a sellout, and I think it's for them to actually say that, you know, the black dude was mad, said he should have taken this white devil Blake all the way out. Okay, so I mean, this, you know, whoever this dude is, you know, he must have been listening to some Farrakhan or watching Phil Donahue when Farrakhan was on there or something. You know what I'm saying? Or Sister Soldier. Although, I don't know if Sister Soldier, if P.E. was out. But at any rate, that was pretty funny. So, Luke is out. He's like, nope, I'm going to get this cat. So, we cut to the armory. People are out there protesting. Cover up. We want justice. Okay, so, you know, folks is, you know, hey, look. Enough is enough. This dude And essentially what it is everyone wants this guy to be tried and convicted, you know, and they want the book thrown at him immediately. You know, people are out for blood, essentially. Okay. And so Power rolls up, and he actually gets a warrant for the arrest because it's essentially what it is a pissing contest between the military because, of course, they want their experiment back that's gone wrong, you know. And then on the flip side, you know, the people are demanding justice. So the police department has to, you know, they've got to respond. If not, New York City is fitting to burn, okay? And so Power rolls in, and he was like, look, we got a warrant for his arrest. You got to give up. You got to give him up. And the military's like, well, yeah, you can have that all you want, but you and what army is fitting to go through us to get this guy? So in comes Falcon, and in comes Luke. And they always have Luke in the same pose whenever he's running, for whatever reason. It's the classic where he's got his fist up. But anyway, they come through, they're mobbing through, knocking out all the police, knocking out all the U.S. military soldiers to get to this cat. And, you know, and of course, Luke is leading the way. So, finally, Luke is done, you know, made his way through. He busts through, looks like, yeah, probably a good, you know, slab, at least a one-ton door of pure steel. Busts it open, and you see where he says, okay, Blake, now it's time to get ugly. And so, from this point, Luke commences to breaking this guy off with a hellacious ass whipping. One of the best ass whippings I've seen in comic books in a long time, and one of the more epic ones. And it was sweet, I can tell you. Reading it, I was like, man, I hope he, you know, Marvel usually don't show blood, but I was hoping they would in this issue. At any rate, Luke drops the dude, punches him through out of the floor, all the way through to the basement. Now they're in the basement. Water pipes are busting. The basement is starting to fill with water because it's starting to flood. This dude tries to sneak attack Luke. Luke catches him, backhands him, and then he just unloads. And I'm going to read the monologue as Luke finishes this cat off. And the guy's going in, and he's trying to sneak attack Luke. So here's what Luke says. Forget that, Jack. You killed a black woman. You killed black kids. You killed black cops. You filthy, lousy bigot. You know what you've done to me, Blake? You got my mind all messed up. I know you're crazy. I know you ought to be locked up someplace where people can help you. But you got everybody talking. You got me actually caring about what folks think of me. If I don't put you down, they'll label me as an Uncle Tom. But I know you're just sick. I know you need help. So Luke, you know, because he's not somebody that really gives two flips in the wind about what anybody thinks about him, black, white, or anything like that. You know, that's not his stilo. But he loves his people, and he doesn't want his people to think that he don't love them. Okay, so, you know, he's torn inside because he knows this dude is sick, you know, and he can recognize because he's fought so many crazy villains. And he knows you guys are madmen. So, yeah, he's targeting blacks, but there might be something bigger to play. And Luke understands that, but he's got to take action. So he's telling him, I don't know right from wrong anymore, Blake, and I hate that, but I am a man and I'm black. And I'm just as good as you. And like it or not, homeboy, I'm taking you in. And so Luke drops him as the entire basement fills with water. Okay? And the next cutscene is very, very powerful. All right? And so we see that Luke is dragging this guy up the stairs. Okay? And there's a thought bubble. In one of the panels, actually in a couple of panels, but there are no words whatsoever, any type of spoken words at all. So Luke is just thinking to himself, like, okay, I finally got this guy knocked out. I'm going to make sure that, you know, he's going to the cops, all right? So, and this is something that you need to realize. As a comic book reader, you are disciplined to know how to read panels. And so, you're trained your eyes to not look down. So as you're reading, and this is, you know, my 10-year-old self, you know, and by that time, I've been reading comic books since third grade. So I'm a fifth grader, you know, when I'm 10. So, you know, I got this down. So I'm not looking down at all. I'm just reading and looking. So the next panel, all I see, and you will see it when you read the comic, is Luke's face. That's all you see in astonishment. And then you look over to the right, to the next panel, and Blake is a black man. What? That's right. Blake is a black man. So, you see Luke, he's irate. He confronts the computer tech who gave him the bad info. And the guy essentially says, like, hey, I don't know what the problem is. And I'll read what this guy said to him. He says, hey, man, it's a bug in the system. So the guy's black. Sue me. After all, what difference does it make? Okay? And I think this is the point that the writer's trying to make, because as a black kid, you know, I know that most of the comic books that I read at that time, in fact, pretty much all of them, any black character that was depicted, whether it's Marvel Comics or DC, and those were the two big ones at the time, the ones I read, there wasn't a black writer who were writing for the black characters. And so I think this is what this writer, this is his point, is, hey, you know, who cares if the guy is black or white? He's a murderer. Okay, so what difference does it make? And you also have to realize this computer guy, that's all he does is sitting in front of his computer. He's oblivious to everything. So he's oblivious to the riots. You know, he's not even thinking about all that. He's just a numbers guy. You know, he's just a little nerdy dude doing his job. So he's like, hey, I'm just here to help. Hey, you know, what difference does it make if the guy's black or white? He's a murderer, and you got him. Okay? And so now we cut, and I'm going to read just a little bit of what the reporter has to say, because we're cutting back to Luke's couch, okay? And he's watching the television, and he's watching Nightline and Ted Koppel in this report, okay? And this is what the reporter has to say. With the discovery of Blake's true race, public sentiment quickly turned and the protest groups disbanded. Terms like psychotic race killer and super bigot were hastily replaced with such terms as victim of society and misunderstood young soldier. She goes on to say, as for Luke Cage, no charges have been filed, nor are any likely to be suddenly as recent uproars. As for Luke Cage, no further charges have been filed, nor are any likely to be as suddenly as the recent uproar began. It has all ended. This is Sidney Wallace in New York. Back to you, Ted. So as quickly as this uproar started, it went away. And I think that's funny. In today's society, that's usually the case. We're not seeing this now, and I am glad for that. We do need that energy. We just need to make sure that it's positive. Okay? And then the comic closes with no words. You just have Three the Hard Way sitting on Luke's couch. And it says, Getting Ugly, the title of the comic. Okay? And so Luke is sitting there with the Falcon and Power. They finish watching Nightline. Luke turns off the television. Cut, it's a wrap. So there's a lot of things to think about. And so that's why I wanted to share this with you. It's a little bit different take. It's something off the beaten path, but it is worth noting, especially in lieu of all the recent events that have occurred. So I definitely want to thank you for listening to the podcast and supporting. If you have a suggestion for future podcasts, please hit me up. My name is Joseph Kinney. You can shoot me a message on Facebook Messenger. And if you send me your name and your email address, I will get back to you. Okay? And you can also reach me at jvkinney, K-E-N-N-E-Y, 44, at gmail.com. If you want to shoot your suggestions, okay? And if you want to call and just give us a shout-out, anybody that calls and gives us a shout-out, we'll make sure that we air your phone call on the next podcast, so that way we can give you your props. So once again, it's a wrap. It's your host, Joey Kinney, a.k.a. Joe Militant. We're out. Peace. Hey everybody, we want to thank you for listening to episode 2, Getting Ugly. We've got some bonus material for you now, and we're going to play some music from the original soundtrack of Luke Cage.
Yo, Sway, man, I can't even describe it, man. The situation is crazy, bruh. If I was a gorilla, I would say it was bananas, kid. For real, the man just took over the whole situation, God. Listen, man, it is what it is. Can't understand a man if you ain't live what he live. Coaches in the crib ain't got no food up in the fridge. But the crime running rampant and it's screwing up the kids. Sway a man, what kind of paradise is this? Swimming 40 acres and some cash on the wrist. But these snakes is trying to gather in the pit. When you get the cotton now, plucking ashes off the clip. Off the rip, now a challenger exists. Any bulletproof shoot, what kind of caliber is this? Got thugs in the store with the barrel on your lips. Saying nifty out the drug before you pay you with the grip, Lord. Who to call when no one obeys the law? And there ain't no Iron Man that can come and save the soul. Power to the people and Luke Cage the cause. And the cops got it wrong, we don't think Cage at all. Look, dog, a hero never had one. Already took Malcolm and Martin, this is the last one. I beg your pardon, somebody pulling a fast one. Now we got a hero for hire and he a black one. And bullet hole hoodies is the fashion. We in Harlem's paradise, delicat done. That I'm about to trade the mic for a mad dumb. Give up my life for Trayvon to have one. Yeah, cause this is bulletproof love. And you already know what a bulletproof does. So you can take it from a bulletproof dog. The hood got his back, dog, bulletproof love. The blood thicker than mud. And who am I to judge if you get a gun in the club? Cause you already know what a bulletproof does. When the hood got your back, dog, bulletproof love. Yeah, shout out to Pop, R.I.P. my brother. The streets is crazy nowadays. People say we don't need another hero, but now we got one. Whether you like it or not, Luke Cage, please believe it, sir. The streets got your back. You already bulletproof love, baby.
It's a wrap due to knowledge.